I'm Ronnie Thwaites, and this is The Public Eye. Suppose we change the seating in Gordon House and place members in a semicircle rather than two opposing sides, with places in alphabetical order instead of party affiliation. That would probably mean that Andrew Holness and Mark Golding would sit side by side. After all, G and H follow each other in the alphabet. That's heresy, you say? Superficial, you think? No. We use symbols to bespeak deeper intentions and reality, don't we? Think again. When you sit beside somebody regularly, it is likely that you begin to appreciate them more, share thoughts, and avoid bromides about hypocrisy and bodily excretions. Factions might even become friends as we face the tsunamis of this age. More importantly, the sight of leaders and members mingling together would portray to an increasingly cynical voting population that everyone, despite differences, was really busy about a common cause and shared respect for each other. Insist that they get closer together, if only to recognize their interdependence. What a message that would be for our children. But because the deceit about governance, which we all seem to concede, is that problems like crime and violence, education, economy, and health can be tackled by one set of people who, by writ of the electorate, are presumed to have all the wisdom, all the initiative, while the rest acquiesce, obstruct, or yawn and sneer. The Westminster style of two opposing sides glaring at each other, which we have adopted, is serving us poorly. The British developed it, and we borrowed it, on the presumption of a deep social contract, which supersedes party differences. But we have no such mutual understanding and need to reform how we relate to each other at the highest levels. Freedom and balance are not guaranteed by congenitally squabbling tribes, eager for the other's comeuppance. Sometimes even the jokes that are cracked are partisan. And some of the most rabid tribalists, hello, are the partisans outside of Gordon House, to whom the theatre inside plays. The National Consensus on Crime, their document lists as its first requirement for success, quote, bipartisan agreement. Have you observed any signs that this is taking place yet? There were editorials recently in the two dailies calling on government to include the opposition and other interest groups in the struggle against murder. But while blood is flowing freely, two signatories of the said national initiative were heard recently to admit that very little, if any, ground has been covered since the beginning of the accord. Why? Peter Bunting relates that neither he nor the public at large are given access to the statistics and analysis of crime on any regular basis. The consensus effort, just like the Vale Royal talks, are in danger of becoming a joke thing. None of this is surprising because of the very low level of trust between the political actors from whom we take our cue. The ruling party really does not want to share the full picture on crime and other instances of executive inadequacy with the opposition for fear of looking bad or giving fodder for criticism. So where does that leave the rest of us? Trust, at all levels, becomes the scarcest but most necessary element of effective governance. The bald truth is that no one side can convincingly lead recovery of the Jamaican economy, let alone inspire repair of the rent fabric of social capital. The crisis of inequality, underproductivity, and the pandemic are beyond the capacity of any single administration, no matter their boasts of brilliance and efficiency. Where are there the broad and serious discourses on these crucial matters? For example, the nation has prepared for another national budget and received it in these toughest times, without any meaningful engagement of how our money is going to be spent. So after a few hours of questioning in the parliament, the government, and look here, whichever administration it is, gets to take whatever amount of money it dares to out of our pockets, mortgages our grandchildren's patrimony by borrowing, and then distributes the proceeds as they see fit. Tell me, is that the best we can do? Is that your idea of democracy? All of this, when more than 3/4 of the electorate have expressed no confidence in either government. And that number grows because we politicians sow the very self-respect undermines our own credibility. The closest to consensus we have right now is the majority who distrust leadership and government and lurch into a mood of callous individualism. Why? Because there's no convincing common cause. The highest national imperative right now are how to tame COVID, wrestle the economy out of recession and lopsidedness, redo the lost education year, and stanch the blood spill of murderousness. We should be impatient with the mouthwater commitment to unity and consensus in the face of these daunting but exciting tasks. No one tendency, social or political, can do it alone. Truly, one hand can't clap. Walk good.